Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Friday, July 27th. How is everybody doing? Happy Friday to all, and happy Brewfest weekend. Happy Brady Street Days weekend here in Milwaukee. It is a fun one to be in the city. We're going to have beautiful weather for it. Looking forward to the weekend, even as we do not have a job. So when you don't have a job, weekends are sort of like, I don't know. They're just not necessarily as exciting. But this is also take two of the podcast. I taped the podcast after the Brewer game last night. It was about like 1:20 when I got done. I wanted to edit out a yawn I had, and I've been using my phone lately, which probably isn't like podcast etiquette. Like, I have a mic. It's like I literally am looking right at it, but our desk, I just have not set up the desk to like really have a good studio here. So I haven't been using it. And I probably got to get to this was probably a life lesson of you probably should have your mic. So anyways, I was going to edit something and then I didn't save it. And there you go. And so it completely deleted on me. And now I have to tape this podcast all over again, which is fine. It's not a big deal. I just said, screw this, I'm going to bed. I was about to tape it again at 1:20. All right, guys. So before we get going, you guys know where you can find us, StoneTapWI. It is a website. It is your alternative source for sports in the state of Wisconsin. We also can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, StoneTapWI on all of those platforms. You can subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and I think that's it, the whole thing. I'm going to put it in my to-do list that Art19 and Spotify are up by next week. I think I've talked about that for fucking 4 months, and I think it just has to happen. So we'll have to get that done. We're going to talk about the Brewers. We're going to talk about the Fiserv Forum, and then a little bit of Free Talk Friday to wrap it up. All right. So the Brewers made a move. They acquired Joachim Soria from the Chicago White Sox. Soria is a back-end reliever. He has been dominant of late. He has only allowed one run in his last 25 appearances since the middle of May. Soria has a sub-1 ERA since the middle of May as well. So he's been dominant. He's been the closer recently for the White Sox. He's had 16 saves on the year. And, you know, I think some people would wonder, well, why are they going after bullpen help? Why do they need to add to a strength? Well, couple things. Number one, we saw the Yankees do exactly that. The Yankees added Zach Britton to the mix. Zach Britton, you know, they didn't need Zach Britton at all, but they know it's a bullpen game. They know in the postseason, you're going to have games where your pitcher might only go two or three innings and you need a kick-ass bullpen to carry the load. That is what the Yankees are hoping for. That's what the Brewers are hoping for. Another thing, too, is the Brewers' back-end bullpen just needs help from time to time. I mean, last night was an ideal spot for a guy like Soria where Jeremy Jeffries struggles in the eighth inning. A guy like Soria could have stepped in with two outs, got the out, and then they could have debated on, well, do we want to use him again? Do we want to use Knebel in the ninth after they had a four-run lead? But it gives Craig Counsell a little more bit of leeway. Right now, Craig Counsell, if you've already used Haters and Jeffries, you have to use Knebel by default. Now you have another guy in Soria where you don't have to use Knebel until the very end. And also, it frees up not having to always use a guy like Taylor Williams or Dan Jennings, who are sort of that second tier mid reliever for the Brewers. Corbin Burns, I think, is an interesting, you know, name right now because he pitched well last night. He's kind of been in the bullpen. He's definitely a bullpen arm, but is he going to be moving to the starting rotation again with Freddie Peralta sort of at his limit, I think, for innings for this year? I don't think Freddie's going to pitch more than 120 innings. I think the Brewers will probably shut him down at some point. here soon. And the question is then who moves into the rotation. I think they're going to wait and see what happens. I don't think Burns should get sent down. I'd be kind of bummed if they do send him down. I know that right now they have to make some roster moves with Soria and Albers. And who is going to really be that roster move? Is it going to be Keon Broxton? I don't recall if Nate Orff is still up, but is it going to be Nate Orff? I mean, who will be the guy that gets sent down here? Because the Brewers obviously have to make some decisions. And I don't know if you can keep that big of a bullpen either. So maybe it is Burns. And I think Peralta actually is probably one of the guys who gets sent down. I just don't know who that other person is. Who, you know, would Saladino get DFA'd to free up a spot for Soria? Because he's been so brutal defensively. His bat's obviously been pretty good. I don't think they would do that. So the Brewers are also in the market for other moves. They're potentially looking at Matt Harvey. We wrote about Matt Harvey earlier this week, saying that we kind of hoped that Matt Harvey was a 2019 move because, I don't want to give a prospect to the Reds. Even if he's shitty, I don't want to give the Reds a prospect. I realize that we gave the Pirates Jason Rogers back in the day, and Jason Rogers obviously is not, I don't think he's going to be even in baseball. So you never know, but you don't want to take that risk, right? Great American Ballpark's the type of place where if you're giving up a hitter, they could turn into Babe Ruth all of a sudden. We saw it with Scooter Gennett. I mean, I don't want to give up like Domingo Santana for Matt Harvey because I don't want Domingo tormenting us for the next 3 or 4 years. Like the Reds are like close. The Reds are close to actually being a legitimate team again. They have some definite talent. Like, if you kind of wonder where the Reds would be if they didn't start off 3-16 this year. I think their record since May 1st has actually been right around 500, if not a little better. The Cardinals have actually been the worst team in the National League since May the 1st. So, you know, I don't know if I want to give up something of value for Matt Harvey. I'd rather give up a lottery ticket. You know, obviously lottery tickets can turn into Freddy Peralta, but a guy like Wilbur Perez, who I don't think a lot of Brewer fans know even about, he is a lottery ticket to the extreme. So that is a great example of a guy to give up for Matt Harvey. Or you trade him for cash considerations and a player to be named later and basically have it outlined that if he becomes good, like if he has a really good second half, then you give it to him. But I don't think Matt Harvey completely solves your starting rotation issues. I want to see him. I actually have no problem bringing him in this winter, but I think this winter would give Derek Johnson time to really look in, like fix him and help him. And also too, even though I've been very bullish about Derek Johnson, we can't assume that he can fix everybody. And I know Matt Harvey has been better with the Reds, but there's still underlying numbers that say maybe this is kind of fool's gold for him, especially against left-handed power, which is a problem at Miller Park where it's easy for left-handers to take it out of the yard. So just a quick bow on last night's game. I thought it was a very refreshing win for the Milwaukee Brewers. I thought that was a win we haven't seen a lot from the Brewers where they generate a ton of offense. They generate offense in multiple ways with a couple home runs and timely hitting. And it was just a good win for the Brewers. They haven't had one of those in a while. They get off on the right track. They've now won 4 of their last 6. They keep pace with the Cubs. And damn it, they should have had they should be 2 games back as of today because the Cubs had no business winning the game they did earlier on Thursday, but they did. So such is life. So anyways, the Brewers, though, get it done with Christian Yelich, has a 3-hit game. Travis Shaw had a 2-hit game, and Yelich with the hit and run that basically set up the game-winning run or the go-ahead run from Ryan Braun pinch hitting. It's kind of sad to see Ryan Braun as this very useful pinch hitter, but that's how he's been the last 2 games. I mean, I think Eric Thames has more value to the team in right than Ryan Braun does. I understand bringing in Braun late in the game for a defensive replacement as well as a pinch hitter. He's going to be playing today against Baumgartner, but Ryan Braun right now is a platoon left-handed hitter. Unfortunately, I think if he gets hot, I think then he looks to me like we're like on the verge of having like Ryan Braun go on a heater and then force his way into the lineup and basically like, okay, you're gonna have to choose between Thames and I, or you're gonna have to choose between Aguilar and I. Like Ryan Braun's gonna be like, I need to be in this fucking lineup and I need to be there. And like, I don't know, maybe Ryan Braun takes ground. I think he's too old to take grounders at second base, but like, I think Ryan Braun, it's a shame the DH isn't in the NL, because Ryan Braun would be the DH of this team, and or Thames for that matter. And instead, you have to, one guy is kind of the odd man out. And I don't know how Ryan Braun feels about it. I mean, he's had three straight games where he hasn't played. I mean, he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow. I don't know. I can't remember if he has good numbers against Johnny Cueto, if almost it makes sense to have him out there against Cueto on Saturday. But yeah, he got a big hit. I mean, he had a big hit. They put him up 3-2. I mean, and then they get the home run from Shaw. That was proved to be helpful, because, I mean, that game got close all of a sudden. Knebel could not shut the door. And I think Brewer fans are having some legitimate concerns about Corey Knebel. And if Corey Knebel is the closer of this team, I'm not sure at this point. I think the jury's still out. I think that we're seeing too many shaky performances from him to really know. And once again, the soothsayer, Mitch Ross, had this. He's been on the Knebel isn't that good good bandwagon this year. So again, Mitchie nails it. I mean, Mitchie has been pretty good about his predictions this year with the Brewers. Now, he'll probably tell me that he did not say that about Knebel on next week's Tapping the Keg, but let that be. So that's even more reason why they added Soria. Moving on to the Bucks adding the name to the new arena. It's finally done. It's the Fiserv Forum. It will also probably be known as the Forum. It will not really be known as the Fiserv Forum. Like, let's be real. No one's going to call it the Fiserv Forum. No one is going to call it the Big Serve. I've heard the 414 Forum has been a name that's been brought around. Paul Henning, even though I'm not a huge Paul Henning guy, he called it the Greek Freak Forum, which I think is fantastic. Why Breaking Tea hasn't put out a Greek Freak Forum t-shirt is beyond me. That to me needs to be a thing immediately. It's pretty cool to have a guy from Greece who is your superstar playing in the Forum. Like, that is awesome. Like, that is so badass in my opinion, and very, very cool for a guy like Giannis, who definitely I think will, it's the house of Giannis. I mean, it is his place. It is his playground. There will be Giannis stuff all over that fucking arena. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see it. I'm definitely going to the open house. I think it's just, you got to marvel it. Like, you want to go check it out. You don't know when your first time is going to be there. I'm hoping to go to the Killers show with the lady friend on the week after. We both enjoy the Killers. They have a really good in concert. We saw them at the Rave last year, so hopefully we can go again and check out the Forum live in living color. Some people said they're still going to call it the Bradley Center. Fine, you're still going to call it the New Bucks Arena. I think that's kind of what the nomenclature is going to be around town when you're just kind of at the bar with your friends. Be like, oh, have you checked out the new arena? That'll be like the comment, like, and you'll be like, oh yeah, like, headed to, saw the Killers or went to the open house. Like, that's how the conversation will be. It's not going to really be, oh boy, did you go to, you check out the Fiserv Forum? The 4-1 Forum also too is just trying too hard. I think sometimes Milwaukee tries too hard to like bring in 414 culture and bring in this like, hey, we're Milwaukee. Like, oh man, we love our city. I love Milwaukee too, but like sometimes we overdo it. Like, let's just be real. Let's put the brakes on it. So Free Talk Friday is here. It's not the lead topic because we actually had things to talk about today. But my boy Max was like, is Grand Avenue Mall the worst mall in Wisconsin, or is just the worst? And I say to Max, absolutely. Nothing is worse than Grand Avenue Mall. Grand Avenue Mall is about as depressing gets. Like, Grand Avenue Mall will wear you down. There's really no reason to go to Grand Avenue Mall. Like, there are just so many different malls around you that I would rather go to places like Southridge, Mayfair Mall, even Bayshore. Bayshore is kind of a shit show in its own right because Bayshore is an outdoor mall. It's way spread out. It's you park one place, but you have to walk to other places. The only really redeeming quality about Bayshore is the fact that there is a Trader Joe's. That's it. And that might, I may sound like a basic bitch when saying that, but I love Trader Joe's, and you can't tell me otherwise. Other topics worth talking about in free talk before we let you go. Kevin Durant had a little kerfuffle on Twitter, as he's known to do. Big Cat, our boy Dan Katz, had a comment about, hey, can we call Durant the B word again because of some of the things he said to CJ McCollum on CJ McCollum's podcast. And CJ McCollum sort of went back and, you know, was like, yeah, it's kind of bullshit what he said. And Kevin Durant's like, I just did your fucking podcast, and gets all offensive. And then they ask him about it at the USA basketball training, and he basically says the media is out to get him. The media is painting a picture, and Kevin Durant has got into this paranoid stage of, like, you know, yesterday we talked about on Tavern to Keg how sometimes on Twitter people just need to shut the fuck up. Kevin Durant needs to just disconnect from Twitter, like literally throw it into the ocean. Like, I get that you might have to have Twitter for like promotional things, and just let your agents handle it. Like, let Rich Kleiman handle all that stuff. Like, do not touch it from your perspective, because there is legitimately no reason for you to be on Twitter at this point if you're going to be this paranoid about everything. Like, it's just not helpful for Durant at this point. Same with Instagram. He just needs a social media cleanse. He needs to go on like an Aaron Rodgers like just hiatus and come back at some point. To wrap it up, staying in the basketball realm, I don't know if you guys saw John Wall's photo from the Vegas tryouts. I know I put it on our Stone Tap WIIG story if you haven't seen it, but all-time bad photo for John Wall. Very fat face. And I think that's what happens when you get a professional photograph after a night out in Vegas. Like, it's clear that John Wall was probably gambling at the strip clubs, hanging out, having a good time in Vegas the night before. And he just came there fresh out of bed, and it fucking showed, man. And let me tell you, John Wall did not look good. And if I was John Wall and I saw that picture, I would be like, you are not posting this. Like, I think the Wizards actually, their social media team did post it, and then that's how it became a meme. Like, T's and P's to the Wizards social media guy or gal who posted that, because I'm sure they're hearing it from Wall's agent. Like, how the fuck could you post that picture of us? You made us a meme. Congratulations. And I'd be like, well, it's the most positive attention the Wizards have got in weeks. I mean, all the talk's been about how Dwight Howard is going to infect this team. And so at least now we have a funny John Wall photo that we can all laugh at. So I don't know. Turn a negative into a positive. That's what Friday is all about. All right, guys. Well, this will just about do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll get a podcast in before I get into my cups at Brewfest and at Brady Street Days. And then we'll talk Sunday. I don't know when we'll do the Sunday pod, because the Brewers play a 3 o'clock start. So maybe we'll do it before the game, talk about Saturday night's game, talk about just the Brewfest and Brady Street Days, reflect on all the good beers I had, and kind of give you guys a sort of review of anything new I tried and anything like that. That's, to me, sounds like a fun Sunday podcast. All right, Stone Tap WI is where you can find us, hang out with us all weekend. If you see me out at Brady Street Days on Saturday, feel free to stop by. I'll make sure to buy you a beer. All right, take care of yourselves. Have a good one. Bye.